Good morning. Nice to see all of you. Glad that we can gather here at the 11 o'clock hour and we can have children and families and all different generations gathered here to worship God and learn more about what He has in mind for us. This is a quick kind of journey through Proverbs, right? I mean, this is the last Sunday we're in Proverbs for this Sunday, this summer, and that really went pretty fast, I think, especially since summer, you probably missed a Sunday or two. So here we are, we're wrapping up, but we thought that Proverbs had enough extra things to focus on that we would come back to it next summer. So you can anticipate that the chapters following chapter 9, which have lots to say and apply to life in such practical ways, we'll tackle that next summer. Well, I hope that our series has made you want to pursue wisdom and you have a little more sense about wisdom being around the quality of life rather than how smart you are. So this will be true today. I think of this story, I think of my own journey, and I think of this story that I'd like to share with you. There was a young rookie lumberjack, and he had signed up and got the job, and he was excited about what they call felling trees. And so he had the ambition to be a real contributor to the company. The average person in the company would fell 15 trees a day. Amazing. But he thought that is an exciting goal, and he went right at it from day number one. And at day number one, he fell 10 trees. He felt pretty good about that. Day number one, rookie and everything. It's kind of like, I'm doing pretty good. And then day two came along with enthusiasm. He went right back at it and he fell 10 trees again. But that wasn't exactly what he had in mind. He thought it would go a little better this time, a little more, but he just got the same amount. So he was eager to really put himself really into it. So he arrives the third day, and he's really going to show his stuff, and he's swinging and working hard and getting it done. And at the end of the day, he only had 7 trees that he fell. And so he was, oh my goodness, what's going on? He was getting a little frustrated, but he's not going to let it discourage him. He's going to come back the next day. He's going to get there early. He's going to stay late, and he's going to do it. And he just whacks away at those trees, and at the end of the day, he had 5 trees. He's going, what's going on? And wouldn't you know it, day after day, it was kind of that amount or less, and he got at a point where he turns to one of the wise old veterans, and he says, I don't understand what's going on. I work hard every day, swinging my axe from dawn to dusk, but keep on doing worse and worse. What can I do what can I be doing differently? What can I be doing? What am I doing wrong? And the wise veteran, young fellow, I can see them calluses on your hands and those big muscles on your arms and to prove that you've been swinging your axe. But let me ask you something. When's the last time you sharpened your axe? There you go. Sharpened your axe. Well, you were all anticipating that was going to be really funny, but it's not that funny. It's actually more practical, because when I look at that story, I feel like that person. Every one of you that knows me, some of you know me for over 30 years, know that I go at it with 2 gears, tense and intense. So my ambition is, I've never fallen short on ambition, but when it comes to wisdom, I got some growth. And so here I am today. Maybe you'll want to join me. I'd like to learn more about sharpening the axe. Are you ready? That's what I'm focusing in on when I look at Proverbs 9. If you have your Bibles, you have your phones, you got a set of eyeballs that you want to look up front, we're going to look at Proverbs 9. It concludes this section of narrative from Solomon, and it does it in a really kind of a summary way. I think it's really good. Here we go. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my home." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, for they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the high point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This is the word of the Lord, and this is our wrap-up. And I read it in the way that wisdom poetry should be read. You just kind of let it flow. The author was writing in this manner. Solomon and his pen and his thoughts and his wisdom, sharing it there, and you were sort of like taking it in. I hope you're just taking it in. What's going on here? What are some of the themes? What might be the wisdom teaching that I'm to take in? I hope that you sense that as we read through that. That's really the purpose. So when it comes to Proverbs 9, I thought a visual might help us. So I have a picture for you that I think could be a good way of kind of giving an overview of what we're dealing with here. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So here we have it. This is the idea. I think this really is a reflection of what's kind of Solomon's emphasis here. And it will come out with this idea. First of all, competing voices. Competing voices. That's what we have here. And the voices that are shared are primarily wisdom and folly, which has been true for other times in our study, right? Wisdom and folly. But the idea of wisdom and folly, wisdom seems like way over here, right? And folly seems like way over here. But when it comes to the way that it's said, they're actually they sound very similar. And in a world with lots of voices, lots of competing voices and immense amount of information, it's sometimes hard to discern, is that the wise voice or is that the voice of folly? Look what happens in verse 4. Verse 4, the lady of wisdom, the idea in this first part, is she announces invitation that says, "Let all who are simple come to my house." And this is like, it begins really like, this is what we would want, right? But then by verse 16, guess what happens in verse 16? Same thing. I don't even have to write it up a second time because it's the same words. Let all who are simple come to my house. And both say with the who has no sense, come and find direction from me. Wisdom or folly? Two voices that can get confused. They can kind of like get mixed in an uncertainty of what's being said. And the simple, the word simple, it's not like we use that word. I wouldn't go up to someone and say, "Hey, Pat, you're simple." You know, I wouldn't do that, right? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. So what does that mean? Simple is the idea of undecided. Not really decided. Or simple is being vulnerable. I'm kind of vulnerable. I may be naive. And I have a picture for you. not one on the screen, but an illustration that you'll get. How about Eve? Eve in the garden. Is she a picture of simple? Absolutely. Is she naive? You bet she is. Is she vulnerable? Absolutely. Does she get deceived? You bet. And her husband right with her. They listen to the voice that seemed right, that seemed convincing and persuasive, but it was the wrong voice. And that really is a picture of what's happening as we move through Proverbs 9. We get to verses 13 and 14 and that, and we have Lady Folly and her invitation and the way it is. It says that she, in a description, an unruly voice, an unruly. So we don't notice sometimes the difference between the voices. Just think of all the similarities that kind of confuse us. The similarity is there's two houses, and there's two meals, and there's two women, and there's two voices, and it's all in the same chapter, and it can be like, which is which? And that's on purpose, to say that you're vulnerable and I'm vulnerable, that there's a lot of voices, and you might think you're hearing one, but you might fall into the trap of Eve and think that this is the voice to listen to, and it would be the wrong voice, right? That's the idea. So I'm on my computer, and I notice an email from a pastor friend, and it's an invitation to come to a gathering that he's hosting. And I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. I'm glad I'm included and all that. I hadn't seen this pastor in a while, and I know him. I would call him a friend and everything. So I'm thinking, okay, this is good to go. I'm doing other emails, but I noticed this one kind of pop up, and I just in a moment's time, I don't check the email address. I don't give my pastor friend a call. I don't even think it through at all. I just punch the invite button right away. And wouldn't you know it, thank the Lord for computer security protection, because all of a sudden it goes, access blocked, access blocked. Your computer has been saved from damage. You see, that could have got inside my computer and made a mess, right? Because I wasn't paying attention. Now, that's just a computer. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about what can be so deceiving. You can listen to the wrong voice. Just ask the author of 2 Corinthians 11, Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Remember this statement? Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. What does that mean? He disguises himself. He doesn't go, hey, I'm your enemy. I'm going to really make your life, ruin your life. I'm going to make life very... No, he doesn't do that. He comes as an angel. I've got good things for you. He uses kind of a tantalizing voice, a engaging voice, one that intrigues us. That's the kind of thing. And here's the deal. Listening to the wrong voice and taking it in can get inside, right? And it can poison your heart. Twist your mind, poison your heart. Watch what happens in Proverbs 4:23. What a wise statement. Very important. 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How big is that? And it shows you and me the importance of what's going on the inside and how the wrong voice can influence you in a very negative way. So that I wanted that's the warning. We're at these crossroads time and again. Decisions, friends, is crucial. And following the right path and making the right choice and listening to the right voice is so essential to your well-being, to your spiritual journey. Don't kid yourself. So important. Now, to give you a sense of illustration about this, the commentary I was studying, one of them, is the story of God from, in this case, from the book of Proverbs, is a series of commentaries, and the author is Ryan O'Dowd, And he wrote this. I just thought he summarized something that's going on in this. It was for his comments on Proverbs 9. He goes like this. The second half of Proverbs 9. The whole picture surrounding the woman of folly serves to capture the way we are often lured into sin and folly by seductive and seemingly harmless traits of thought. We begin by rationalizing the attention we give to folly's public appeals, and from there, it's an easy step to approach her house and cross her threshold as if only for a minute. Each step in her direction feels only slightly unsettling until we are tucked away in the bowels of her home with stolen water and bread eaten in secret. I just wanted to read that because I wanted you to sense the warning here about competing voices and taking the wrong turn, just like my picture indicates. The picture gets us going in one. You don't go in both directions. You go in one or the other. And which one will you choose? You see, when it really comes down to it, the comparison is like night and day. Watch what happens. Number two, second, clear comparisons. Clear comparisons in Proverbs 9, so often telling us just to sort out what one voice is leading to and what the other voice is leading to. The voices might sound similar. Their offer might seem the same, but they're very different in the results. And that's what we have to see. And it's a part of the teaching here. And he gets in verse 6, and then again in verse 18, he compares it to life and death. Is that big enough for you? Life and death, the comparison about listening to which voice. So let's look at some of the life and death is the culmination. There's several other comparisons. For example, an invitation to a great banquet or stolen food. That's the result. A comparison like this. The comparison has to do with a responsible step in direction, a reckless step in direction. Undisciplined is really the word used for the woman of folly in her invitation. And then the other is out in the open, which is the idea of nothing to hide, out in the open. But the comparison is hidden in secret so that no one knows. You can make a choice and no one knows. It's only you know. You see? You see the stark differences between both of these. And I couldn't help but notice this secret, this idea eating in secret is delicious, and what's going on there. And that idea of secret is really, you can see it, you can sense it, shady. It's kind of shady. And there's a sense that it's suspicious, right? And those kind of things can grab us, and seductive. It can be this kind of thing, whereas the comparison with Lady Wisdom is a path ahead, a path that is open, and there's a sense of goodness and obedience and insight to it. It's just so expansive versus squeezing down and not letting anyone know. Where you have freedom, when you follow the woman of wisdom, there's nothing to hide. You go, this is fantastic. What a blessing. Watch those comparisons. They're very important because they're part of really making wise choices. The two houses couldn't be more different. The first house, described in verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. There you have you. You have a solid kind of complete, and the seven pillars really are about a grander to it, a majestic kind of, and you're invited into this fullness. That's the house there, but We can be deceived. The woman of folly with her cabin on the hill and sitting on the front porch and being, subtle, like sitting on the Cape of Disappointment. I heard about that place. I haven't visited there. I have to go. No, I don't want to go. It's a wrong house. That's the idea. So you have these two houses, and it reminds me about the kind of solid house we're talking about and the kind of shady house we're talking about, all right? The solid house is what I think Jesus was describing when he taught in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. As he's coming, as Matthew is recording his Sermon on the Mount, and it's coming down to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you listen to these words and you do them, you practice them, what will you be like? A house built on a rock. Solid, secure. But if you don't listen to what I'm saying and you ignore what I've been sharing, and you even do listen, but you don't put it into practice, it's like building your house on what? Sand. Sand. And that's really the kind of comparison we have here. We have Lady Wisdom, who's offering us life, and Lady Folly secretly offering death. Now watch. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. What do you think about verse 18? But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Sounds like a horror story, doesn't it? I mean, it's like she's offering us skeletons in her closet. There's dead bodies in her basement. It's scary. And it's really stark. And Solomon wants us to learn from it. You know why? Because he took that path of folly more than once. He did. Just read his life. Read his life from 1 Kings, right in there. Read about it. Because he started so well with wisdom and everything. We're benefiting from it. But he moved in the direction of folly. And he's writing this from personal experience as he concludes this narrative and telling you, don't go there. Has the woman of folly ever deceived Solomon? Hundreds of times. So, the wisest guy gave in. Now look at verse 7 and 8. 7 and 8, say something to me like what might be happening, what could be happening in my life that would kind of reflect that something is going awry, that it's not going the way God intended. And it's this idea of whoever corrects a mocker. Could I have any dimension of my life that's a mocker? I'd say, no, not me. A mocker invites, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults, retaliation. And whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, for they will hate you. And here's the thing. Do I have a propensity to be defensive? Do I get defensive pretty easy? You looked at me wrong. You said that to me. So the idea of the mocker or the scoffer, as one translation uses, some translations actually use scoffer, the idea that you could be kind of hooked in would have to be how you're responding. Are you defensive? Is your heart someone? Is it hardening in some way? Is your faith cooling? Are you drifting in one way? Are you stuck in any way? Has a sense of God's closeness evaded you? That's to pay attention to. That's to think about. And so, I don't want to be a person that has this sense of hardening in any way. So asking myself this question, I really want to think about this. Is my heart hardening in any way towards God and people? I might be tracking down the wrong path. So this comparison is so important. And so when it comes to Proverbs 9 and the Old Testament wisdom, I want to show you in the New Testament that I think an author named James was inspired by Proverbs 9. I really do. See if you agree. James 3, verses 13 to 18. Listen to these words. It just seems like kind of a summary of what we've just been talking about. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. It could be evidence your heart is hardening. No, such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Whoa! Masquerades. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But, this is the best part, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That is so rich. I want the wisdom from above, right? I want the wisdom from above. And that just pulls me in and makes me so eager. But some people will say to me, oh, wisdom, that's just so elusive. That wisdom is, I think wisdom is kind of hard to get, isn't it? It's really hard to get. It's like, it's just like right out there. But I almost got it. Nope, slipped away. So you can get people thinking, oh, wisdom, oh, well, who can ever be wise? Well, I want you to know, you might think it's complicated, but it's not. No, third one, not complicated. It's not complicated. And this is the last thing that Solomon wants to do is make it complicated. He's giving us clear instruction about competing voices. He's giving us clear instruction about the comparison that is so stark. And he's giving us clear instruction how to pursue wisdom. And he does it right in the middle, just like we read last week, where you had kind of a flow that came to a crescendo and then it kind of curled back. So we have the beginning with the Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and right in the middle, we've got the nugget of truth we need. And so here it is, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10, it begins to focus with rebuke the wise and they will love you. And then it says in verse 9, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There it is, right there. It's there for the taking. The direction needed, the steps taken. The pursuit of wisdom looks like, number one, teachable, humble, receptive. Number two, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, a theme of Proverbs, I'm telling you. And number three, when it says knowledge of the Holy One, it doesn't say knowledge about the Holy One. It is really about knowing the Holy One, having connection with the Holy One. Let's talk about it. Number one, the first one is the wise person is ready to learn. Think about this one. Think about you. Think about how dull your axe might be. How dull my axe might be. And here I want it to sharpen. I need it to sharpen because I need to be directed. I need to learn. I need to grow. And I need to receive correction at times. It is so important. So instruction and learning. This is the priority of the wise person. They just want to be in step with what God is about, His truth. So do you long for wisdom, understanding, and spiritual insight? Do you? If you don't long for it, don't worry. You're not going to get it. It isn't going to just slip in there and go, oh, no, you've got it. You're pursuing it. And you're open. And you look at and you're open to God's word. And when it says something to you that isn't in line with your life, what do you do? Ignore it? No. You say, Help me, God. I need your help. I have been going in the wrong direction. Please forgive me. That's what you do. Are you teachable? How about the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is just this repeated theme in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is mentioned 5 times in the first 9 chapters. 5 times. And then add to that the fear of the Lord in the next 10 to 20, 31 is mentioned 8 more times. It is the theme. It's the theme of the book of Proverbs. When Tyler started this series in Proverbs, his first message was about the fear of the Lord. And he said, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Absolutely. So what is the fear of the Lord? Well, let's put some words to it. How about honor? How about honor the Lord? Does that fit? Sure does. What about the idea of reverence? Reverence. There's a sense of awe, acknowledging that God is great. Fear of the Lord. There's the allegiance and dependence on God. There's a deep desire to want to obey Him. That's the fear of the Lord. It's what is the priority. It's a declaration of priority. When you say, Lord, I want to be a person that fears you. It's not like cowering or afraid. No. It's a person in step with allegiance and worship and devotion to the living God. That's what it is. The Bible has all these kind of things to say about this. Seeking first His kingdom, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And it says, make your aim to please Him. It says, being a living sacrifice. It says all those things. And that's all about the fear of the Lord. That's what it means. So, is there any question who is number one in your life? I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer it for myself. If I truly am in step with the heartbeat of the fear of the Lord, there's no question who's number one. He's number one. And then the last, this knowledge of the Holy One, is really a connecting thing. It's not about being smart or knowing a bunch of stuff or even knowing a lot about the Bible. It's not that isn't the emphasis. The emphasis is about relationship, the relationship that I have with the Holy One, a relationship of closeness, so that I might understand and know more in light of who He is through relationship. If I'm close to someone and I'm getting to know them better, they do what? They rub off on me. If I am close to someone and I'm getting to know them better, they rub off on me. That's what I'm saying. This is the sharpening of my axe. It's about closeness with Jesus. It's having a intimate and 24/7 relationship with Christ. That's what sharpens my axe. And so when Craig said last week that the personification of wisdom is Jesus Christ the Messiah, I said, amen, brother, because that's when the very sense of the character of God reflected through His Son, who's the exact representation of the living God, as I have opportunity to commune with Him and His Spirit is living in me and more filling me, I am going to make wise choices. And you will too. So this is the sharpening of the axe for me, the teachable heart, the allegiance to God and that close, deep relationship with the Lord. So we're on a path here. We got a crossroads. It's coming in any second now. Dramatic pause. So which way do you go? They look pretty similar, but where they're destined is far different. With a teachable heart and with a sense of allegiance to God and closeness with Him, you're going to choose the right path. The right path. The right path that leads down into and up over and into the meadow, and it has a sense of wisdom and spiritual nourishment and fullness to it that you only would dream about but then get to experience when you make the right choice with the right path. When you go to the left path, you can notice how it bends. It bends around and it weaves around and everything, and it's mostly going down. Seems easier, but it's not good for you at all. I have no idea where those paths go, but I tell you what, if you have a humble heart and you put your Jesus first and you walk closely with him, you will take the right path. Amen?